Shalom and welcome to Christian Thought in Our World. I am your host for tonight, Johnny Navarro. I know that the show has been on a hiatus for several months with the passing of Brother Eric, who was our co-host. He passed away in October. We actually did do a special episode of Christian Thought in Our World in honor of Brother Eric. And I know that he wanted us to continue with the ministry. Now, as of right now, unfortunately, it's just going to be me doing the show. Brother James is still on his sabbatical, and he said that it's going to be indefinite until for a while. So it's just going to be me for now. And I'll try to see if God will permit me to have guests on the show so that we can have really good conversations. At any rate, let me double check to see if the connection is going well.
Yes, it is going.
You can hear it, or
no? I just said that it was gone.
Okay, I just need to know if they can hear me. Okay, yeah, so it is working. Okay, so tonight we're actually going to do a review. Oh, but before I get into that, I just wanted to explain to everyone with the passing of Brother Eric, I'm going to continue to try to do content. Now, we had talked about doing like movie reviews at some point, and but things got in the way, and of course with his passing, I would have loved to have heard Brother Eric give his particular view of the movie. I think he would have enjoyed it very much, and he actually knew. He was very much interested in the hippie movement of the 1960s, late 60s, early 70s. He knew about the Jesus Revolution more than myself, and he talked a lot about the stuff that was going on, because Eric and his wife actually used to be members of Calvary Chapel at one point, and so they were very familiar with that history, more than myself. But Brother Eric did not live to see the Jesus Revolution movie, but I think he would have enjoyed it. Tonight, however, as I'm discussing this movie, I'm going to have two guests that will not be on screen with me. Now, earlier I got done doing my other YouTube channel, which is the Theology Zone, and I had a discussion on the subject of sanctification, and I had these two people on the show to participate, ask questions and comments. Today, they're going to be featured guests because, unlike myself, they actually lived through that time period of the Jesus Revolution in the late 60s and early 70s. So let me begin by saying that one of the things I did enjoy about the movie is because there is a long trend in Christian movies to have movies that are made with very low budget, very bad quality of movie production value, not very good acting. And one of the perfect examples, of course, was the Thief in the Night series that came out in the 60s, 70s, and maybe the early 80s. I can't remember the last one when it came out. But these were movies that were really badly done in terms of the production value. And I'm not faulting the studios for not trying to do a good job. I'm sure that their desire was to come up with a good faith-promoting movie. But unfortunately, these movies were not well-written. They would hit you over the head with the message rather than letting you go through the narrative story of the structure of the actual characters in the story. And I, obviously, as a Reformed Baptist who holds the covenant theology, I would disagree strongly with the end times perspective that is presented in the Left Behind series, and of course in the Thief in the Night series that came out in the 60s and 70s. However, my comment here has to do with the production value of the actual movie and the storytelling that was done there. And this tradition has gone on for several decades where you have low-budget movies where the production value is bad. And one of the criticisms that I have is that Christians need their own Martin Scorsese. We need the James Camerons, the Christopher Nolans, the Steven Spielbergs. We need them to write and direct or produce movies that are great stories with very strong characters that you actually are invested in and that you want to see. You know, the movie begins with these particular characters. You care about them and you want to see how the character ends. And then when you leave the theater or finish watching the movie at home, you're still talking about it and going, wow, that was an amazing story. And this, and I really like this character and he was so interesting and all of that. And what I see in the Jesus Revolution is that it was actually a well-produced movie. It was directed well. It was edited well. The performances were very good. I really enjoyed the movie. The music was wonderful. They not only had a score for the dramatic moments, but they were also peeling back to the music that was heard in the late 60s and early 70s. Now, I was born in 1977, so I wasn't alive for many of these songs. But the two guests that I have here that are not going to be on screen, but you will be able to hear their voice, they were there and they experienced them. Now, the first one is actually my mother. Her name is Georgina Jackson. Mom, would you like to say hi?
Hi, how you doing, everybody?
Yes. So my mother, she is a self-proclaimed hippie. She likes hippie, clothes and the earrings and all that stuff and the shoes and the boots. And she really is really into it. And she to this day still buys that kind of stuff. And so when she saw the movie, The Jesus Revolution, we had gone to go watch it at AMC theaters. And in the movie, we just enjoyed it, and my mom was actually very nostalgic about looking at the way the fashion of that time and the way the women here wore their hair, and the music that was listened to and stuff like that. But on the other side, we also have my aunt, my aunt. Her name is Margarita Cervantes, and she is here on Facebook Messenger. How are you, tía?
I'm just fine, mijo. Hi, everyone.
Yes. So my aunt has a more unique perspective than my mother does, because my aunt was actually attended Calvary Chapel during the 1970s, and she actually met Chuck Smith and Greg Laurie. But before we get into those particular things, you saw the movie, and so did you.
Yes.
What did you think of the portrayal? Now, I'm going to start with my aunt first. What did you think of the portrayal of Chuck Smith by Kelsey Grammer?
Kelsey Grammer, he's such a wonderful actor. He portrayed Pastor Chuck Smith very well, except that Pastor Chuck Smith, he had a very soothing type of voice, and he was very calm and always smiling, and he came up to you and talked to you, and you just felt so much peace speaking with him. He portrayed him how he dressed, because I remember Pastor wearing turtlenecks with suits on.
Mm-hmm.
And he was able to portray him on the dressing a little bit, but his demeanor was totally different.
Now, in the movie, there's actually a scene because, and I want to get into the specifics of the movie, but before I do that, there's actually a scene in the movie because some of the members of the church that Chuck Smith was pastoring at before the arrival of Lonnie Frisbee and the hippies, they were the people were coming in without any shoes. They were coming in barefoot, and there's even a point where Chuck Smith is actually washing their feet so that they can come in and not dirty the carpet. Did you see any of that?
Actually, I didn't, because I became a newborn Christian through the Calvary Chapel in 1979.
Okay.
My brother, Rudy, was going there. Unfortunately, he passed away 2 years ago, he invited me. And so I started going there. So there were a lot of young people that were dressed hippie, and some were barefooted, but some were not. You know, they were wearing sandals, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And there's two types of hippies. There was the type of hippie that it's kind of like preppy look, it was called back then,
mm-hmm.
where the girls, they dress, you know, with ruffles and lace and long skirts, you know. And then there was the other hippies, you know, that were messy looking, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so but nevertheless, you know, the music was like that.
Mm-hmm.
I was able, because that was one of the reasons that I also got interested going to the Calgary was because of their music, because that was our era, mm-hmm. you know, from the 70s.
Well, so they actually say that prior to the Jesus Revolution, churches were basically all hymnal, and that the Jesus Revolution changed that and created the genre of gospel music. This is correct?
Well, when I started going in 1979, mm-hmm. there were groups coming in, and the music was, it wasn't wild rock. It mm-hmm. was kind of like a mellow rock, mm-hmm. but at the same time, we were able to relate to it. You know, it was kind of like the music of James Taylor, for example, mm-hmm. you know. It was pretty mellow, you know, but it was a Christian song.
But it was drastically different from just singing hymns, right? You got some drums in there, this is actually featured in the movie where you actually see Lonnie Frisbee. Let's talk about Lonnie Frisbee for a bit. So the movie basically begins, so we'll dive into some of these the trimmings about this movie. The movie basically begins because you have these characters. Kelsey Grammer is played by Chuck Smith is played by Kelsey Grammer. We also have Lonnie Frisbee is played by Jonathan Rumi, who is actually very well known right now for playing Jesus on the television series. Well, it's on the app. Angel, I think it's Angel Studios. So if you download the Angel Studios app, you can actually watch The Chosen, which is a video series. Uh-huh. Yeah, so it's a video series with episodes, and it's loosely based on the Gospels with a lot of creative license taken by the writers in order to create drama and some characters and create background stories behind some of the characters that the Bible doesn't spend too much time on. And so Jonathan Rumi, who plays Jesus on The Chosen, in this movie, he plays Lonnie Frisbee. But the person who the movie is seen through, the journey is gone through Greg Laurie, and Greg Laurie's character is played by Joel Courtney. And so it begins with Joel Courtney, you know, he's going to school, he's in like in a military academy type thing. And then he gets involved with the hippies. He really gets really into this really beautiful blonde girl, and he has this beautiful mother, but she's separated from the husband, and he's never met his father. So it's a very dramatic thing, and he starts hanging out with these hippies. He starts getting into drugs, getting into the whole hippie era, the ugliest aspect of the hippie movement. Now, we can't paint all the hippies with a big broad brush, but what we see is that he was living through the ugliest parts of this. And in this movie, you actually have him getting completely so stoned that he's so dazed that he actually finds himself staggering outside because one of the guys was racing the car. And then he gets out, and as he staggers onto the floor and falls down, it's Lonnie Frisbee that helps him get up, and he tells him, "I'm going to stay with you. Don't worry about that." And then eventually he sees Lonnie Frisbee, reconnects with him at a church, but that's a little bit later in the story. But you had something to say?
Yeah, I wanted to say that I want to piggyback on what my sister in the Lord, as well as sister in law, Margie. I'm Gina. Well, my given name is Georgina, but my name is everyone calls me Gina. Now, I am what I consider myself an old hippie, but I'm also a Christian. So my values are different than a lot of people consider hippies, you know, people that are doing drugs and morally do not live a Christian life like I do. So I want to point out the fact that although there are a lot of people that are from the 60s and the 70s where there were hippies, but they were not all doing drugs. They were not all drinking and living a promiscuous life. Some of the hippies, if you would have dressed them up as your common preppy look or whatever it is, however some different styles that there are, you would have said that they're not a hippie. I believe that, you know, hippie is kind of like a state of mind to a certain extent, but it's also, a dress code. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm a conservative person, but I do have my hippie style, and which I enjoy. And I used to sneak in school. I used to sneak from mom. She used to get mad at me because I would come home and she said, "Why are you wearing that?" And I would tell her I love the style. And so for many years, I didn't wear the style because I was, intimidated by people. It was, you know, it had a hippie style was not so common in the 80s and the 90s and all these, that I kind of, you know, started dressing normal. But I just want to say that, in that era, everyone was dressing hippie, every single one. I saw R.C. Sproul, which is a great theologian and a professor. And I saw a video of him where he wore a hippie style. So I just wanted to piggyback on that part of the comment.
Thank you very much, because that gives a lot of background and it actually creates a context for that particular era. And of course, if we watch movies like Forrest Gump gives us a very clear picture of that era also, with a lot of the culture. You know, you have the Vietnam War, a lot of stuff going on back then, and then of course the music. But
and the hippie stuff.
But yes, yeah, so the fashion and all of that. But going back, so the movie starts with Joel Courtney playing Greg Laurie, and Greg Laurie lives a troubled life. He's looking for some sort of truth. He meets this girl. He meets these hippies. He starts hanging out with them, but eventually he crosses paths with a man by the name of Lonnie Frisbee. And interestingly enough, as someone who watched this movie, I had heard of Chuck Smith because a man that I met when I was in high school, he was my print shop teacher. He had told me that there was a pastor named Chuck Smith and that he had attended his church, and he actually loaned me a shoebox full of sermons by Chuck Smith. And he loaned them to me, and I listened to most of them. I didn't get a chance to listen to all of them, but then I gave them back to him. And I said, I enjoyed them, you know, but it was back in the 90s. And eventually I came across a man by the name of Art Elorza, who was a good friend of mine. And for a short time, he was a mentor to me for a few years, off and on because work and everything. But Art had told me that he had been in Calvary Chapel and that he had met a number of these names. I think he may have met Chuck Smith. I don't remember if he told me he did or he didn't. But he was familiar, and he told me how Chuck Smith, he had met a bunch of hippies, and one of those hippies was actually Greg Laurie. And Greg Laurie is now known as this famous evangelist who has these harvest crusades and all of that. So he's a very popular Christian evangelist and preacher and author that has been on television and radio and all of that. And so I've known of Greg Laurie for many, many years, but I didn't know his actual life story. And when I watched this movie, I was watching Jesus Revolution, but this movie, the main character that is Greg Laurie's character, I consider it an origin story for Greg Laurie. But you have these supporting characters played by Kelsey Grammer, who is very important to this movie, playing the part of Chuck Smith. You have Jonathan Rumi, who plays Lonnie Frisbee. But interestingly enough, after I finished watching the movie, the one character I was most interested in learning about was Lonnie Frisbee. What was your take watching the movie, Aunt Margarita? After watching the movie, how accurate was it in the portrayal of Greg Laurie? Because I believe you said that you met Greg Laurie. Tell us about
what happened. We were all young. You know, I was like back then 25-year-old, and we were all young. And he used to come to our church in Calvary Chapel to visit as a speaker. And when I met him, you know, he was also younger. And when so because I met
he's,
him,
he's not part of Calvary Chapel anymore because he branched out, but he associated them.
But at the time he was, because Pastor Chuck Smith was alive, you know. Mm-hmm. So they were very good friends. And so he used to come and visit, and he will give the service, you know. And so I had a chance to meet him, and he was a very shy young man, very handsome. Very handsome young man. And but when he was up there on the pulpit, he was able to give the service without any problem, you know. But then as he went down to talk to the people in the congregation, he was a little bit the shy type, you know. And so I was able to meet him. Then I started going to Costa Mesa. That's where Pastor Chuck Smith was at. And I started taking my daughter, that she was from the 90s, and I started taking her to the Calvary Chapel and everything. And we had the privilege also of going to the last service of Pastor Chuck Smith, because previously he had gone, you know, to the hospital. And then he came back, and I noticed he had a little bit of problems in breathing, you know, but he gave the service and everything. And then after that, the following weekend, that's when they told us that he had passed away, you know. And I still go to the Calvary Chapel, but I now I go to another Calvary Chapel in another community in California. So you know, since 1979, I've been familiar, you know, with how they preach. My background is I was a Catholic, and so going in the Calvary Chapel, that was my first time that I saw that they opened the Bible, you know, and I saw people getting baptized that were grown-ups, you know, getting baptized, and to me that was new, you know. And I really I mean, I consider myself being part of the church. And I really enjoyed the movie. Like Gina said, I enjoyed the fashion that they show, the music. You know, it brought me back a lot of memories of when I was a teenager. But like I said, you know, Pastor Chuck Smith, his demeanor was very, very calm then.
And what did you think of the portrayal Joel Courtney had of Greg Laurie and Kelsey Grammer had of like, how do you think that, how did it match the real person?
I think the portrayal that they did of Greg Laurie and even his wife, you know, it's very similar of how they are, their personality.
Did you meet Greg Laurie's wife?
I said hello to her, but I knew what she looked like.
Okay.
And yeah, it's very similar, you know. But Kelsey, like I said, he's a wonderful actor. I used to watch his program, you know, from the 90s.
Fraser.
Uh-huh. But when he portrayed Pastor Chuck Smith, I was not too much convinced about it, because their personality, their voice, most of all.
Oh, yeah. Because Kelsey Grammer has a very deep, like, tenor voice.
Very deep voice, yeah. And Pastor Chuck Smith had even though you were able to understand him, you know, through the microphone, but he was always a very calm man and always smiling, you know. And you just felt very comfortable when he was around.
So, now, let's talk about Lonnie Frisbee.
Met him.
Okay, right. You told me that you had not met him. So tell us, what did you know about Lonnie Frisbee coming into the movie? Or had you ever heard of him?
Yeah, I heard about him through the years. And I heard at the end, unfortunately, you know, that he had died of AIDS, you know?
Yes.
But people didn't really talk too much about him. You know,
yeah.
Because knew he was involved with at the beginning. You know.
Yeah. Well, they say that Lonnie Frisbee, though he had left Calvary Chapel, and in the movie they actually show him having a rift with Chuck Smith, played by Kelsey Grammer, and he left and he ended up going to Florida. And according to the history, he got involved in a I think it was called the Shepherds Movement or the Bishops Movement or something like that over there, and that lasted for a few years. Then he came and started. He basically started joining Calvary Chapel again. I think it was in the 80s, early 90s. Late 80s, early 90s, and he started meeting with John Wimber. And John Wimber was a Calvary Chapel pastor until he got into the Vineyard Movement, and Lonnie Frisbee was a part of the Vineyard Movement, and the Vineyard Movement I think is an excessive thing, where they're teaching unbiblical doctrines and practices with the slain in the spirit and things like that, which is an extreme Pentecostal tendency that exists with among some charismatics.
Right.
But Lonnie Frisbee, as flawed as he was, and everybody agrees that he had some serious flaws, including Lonnie Frisbee himself. He talked a lot about how he had struggled with drug addiction and all of that. And I respect his struggle. And I want to believe and hope that he was a Christian. But he did have his struggles. But the issue here is that it was Lonnie Frisbee that was the linchpin of the Jesus Revolution. It was he that lit that spark.
Let me say, me growing up, what I remember is it was a big deal on the news. I remember being a young girl and seeing it on the newspapers, or see it in the news, and it was very much frowned upon. That movement was frowned upon. Churches were appalled. They thought that it was disrespecting to the conservative views of and like you said in the beginning, in the olden days, or when I say olden days, I'm talking about 60s and 70s, and even before that, we used to have hymns, music. I mean, if you would come up with music like like the Mamas and the Papas or James Taylor or something like that, which is considered more pop music, that was frowned upon in those days. You did not sing like that in church. Very conservative. So when all this movement came in, no one liked it. So let alone the movement of him coming in and laying hands, and it was a spectacle in front of the church. I'm not saying that there hasn't been churches before that that were promoting the slain of the spirit, but when this started coming about, it was a big deal in the news. It was a big deal to the churches because conservativeness, it was like the Beatles having a little bit of hair on their head, that now it would be considered like a clean-cut child, a young man. But in those days, it was very, very frowned upon, and it was criticized. They could not see the church having that kind of new...
So what you're saying is that there was a culture clash, because one of the problems that exists, and this is something, there's a wonderful scene, and I love the way it was crafted by the director. It's when Lonnie Frisbee meets Chuck Smith for the very first time, and he's sitting down with him, and he tells him about how there are all of these hippies who are searching for God. And he says, but there are doors that are closed to them. And how are they going to find him if the people are closing their doors? And he says, your church, your door is closed. And go ahead.
I remember, Miko, that Pastor Chuck Smith, one of the times that I was listening to his service, he was talking about it. And I don't know if he made a book about it, but he was talking about that he's hardly had no members in his church. Mm-hmm. And then, because he was raised in Huntington Beach. He was a surfer. Mm-hmm. Pastor Chuck Smith was a surfer. So I remember he said that he was driving down the coast with his wife, and he was telling his wife, that he needed more members, and he wanted to witness to other people, because he was really into the word, he was really a pastor. And so she turned around and she looked down the coast, and there were all these hippies sitting on the sidewalks, And then she turned around. Well, there they are. And he said, who? And she said, there's your members right there. There's lives right there that can be saved. And he always claimed that if it wasn't for his wife, he wouldn't have even bothered to ask a hippie to come into.
It's interesting because the actress who played his wife, she seemed reluctant, like the way that she's portrayed, that she's reluctant to be around these hippies because of the way they're dressed and how dirty they are and being barefoot and
probably
all that stuff.
At first, but he always claimed that if it wasn't for his wife, you know. And then I know I saw the movie and his daughter portrayed that she was, if it wasn't for her, you know, she started inviting, you know, the one that comes out as in The Chosen, you know.
But actually that was creative license, though. They said that the one who actually drove Lonnie Frisbee to go meet Chuck Smith was actually his son. It was Chuck Smith's son, but they wrote it in as the daughter. But it's an interesting thing because they presented that narratively for the daughter. I don't know what the reason was. I'm sure that the writers had a reason. But what I find interesting is that when they first meet, he's telling him that these hippies are searching for something, for truth. And these hippies are being shunned by these people. And it shows that Christians, they can become the kind of people that are in this bubble where if you don't act like me, talk like me, dress like me, and have the exact same traditions as I do, therefore we don't want you here and stuff like that. And he's like, wait a minute, we're supposed to reach everyone. And there's almost like this classist type of mentality, which in the New Testament, Paul is arguing against. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave or free. So we need to reach out to all these people. Yes, I mean, we need to be clean. We can't be we can't be dirty and stuff like that. Yes, we need to clean up our act and be responsible and stuff like that. But that doesn't mean that you have to turn into this clean-cut individual that's exactly this carbon copy of, you know, what was his name, Mr. Cleaver, Ward Cleaver of Leave It to Beaver. He doesn't have to turn into Ward Cleaver to be a Christian. You can be a different kind of Christian, and this can become a very self-righteous and hypocritical way of Christianity. And Lonnie Frisbee is actually trying to alert Chuck Smith to this kind of thing, and it's a real problem that exists even to this day. And so all of a sudden these hippies are finding a home. Now, not all the hippies joined, because not all the hippies are the same. And a lot of these hippies were continuing on with postmodernism sex, drugs, and rock and roll is the cliche. And they were going into that. But these other hippies, they weren't the same. They were actually looking for something, and they found it by going to the Word of God. And they found someone who was willing to share the Word of God and usher them and open their doors to them in the person of Chuck Smith. And you see that evolution from the way that Chuck Smith started when he was first exposed to the hippies to where he ends by the end of the movie. And then you have the journey of Greg Laurie as he begins completely lost. You know, he has trouble with his mother who he doesn't know who his father, he never met his father. And you have him going through this journey, meeting this beautiful young woman who becomes his wife at a later point. And he's still married to her to this day. And you have him going through these struggles because he's not being accepted by the woman's father. He feels that he's being called to preach, and then an opportunity presents itself and they tell him no. And now he feels completely lost and defeated. And then when Lonnie Frisbee has that problem, because one of the things that happened with Lonnie Frisbee in the movie is that Lonnie Frisbee is he's getting into a lot of the what Chuck Smith's character says is very theatrical. You know, oh, I can feel that someone is hurting right now, or they're depressed, or they're struggling with something, and I pray, and in the name of Jesus, I rebuke that, and he's getting very Pentecostal in the way that he's behaving, and Chuck Smith does not want to be a Pentecostal, and he never did want to be a Pentecostal. Although I think he started with I can't remember what church he started with, but I think it was a Pentecostal church that he started with. Was it Foursquare or I can't remember where he started, but I know he started with the Pentecostals.
I don't remember that.
No, but
I do remember that Pastor Greg Laurie, well, you know, he draws, right?
Yeah.
So they used to have these tiny little books, and you would turn the pages, and there were drawings, and it was pretty much people witnessing, you know? So it was stories of people that became New World Christians.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were tiny little books like this, you know, and they were black and white.
Yeah.
And I used to have one.
This side about this size or so.
Yeah, I used to have one, but, you know, through the years, I don't know what happened to it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's how he started it.
Yeah.
You know, he started drawing.
And that is depicted in the movie. Yeah.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And I remember those, you know. When people get sick, and you know you go to a smaller congregation, they can put their arms on you and they're praying, but they're not making spectacles out of themselves, you know. They're just praying for you for you to heal, you know.
The Holy Spirit, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit is a spirit of order. And what Lonnie Frisbee would do is he'd be in the middle of the sermon and then he'd stop preaching to do this. And it seemed very theatrical. And he would be like, oh, no, go continue playing the music. And we know that among Pentecostals and Charismatics, there are certain methods that they use in order to provoke a certain emotional reaction, which actually was started with, I forget the name of that particular guy, Charles Finney. Charles Finney was the one that started a lot of these traditions that we have today, where he is trying to get people to, I think he invented the altar call, and he invented the trying to create, I think it was the mood lighting and the music in order to get people to the right emotional state so that they would start, you know, getting into the things of God rather than the conviction of the Word of God by just going to the scriptures. Like the power, I remember R.C. Sproul used to say, the power is in the Word. We do not have to prepare the heart of a person, you know, kind of like, you know, when you're preparing a tortilla and you're getting all of the stuff ready and okay, now it's ready. No, the Holy Spirit does that. All we need to do is unleash the Word of God by just presenting it. But Lonnie Frisbee was of that vein, that Charles Finney type of idea. And I'm not saying that, I don't know if you ever read Charles Finney, but he was clearly influenced by the movement Charles Finney did in the Second Great Awakening. So when I look at this became a serious problem, which is depicted in the movie, between Lonnie Frisbee and Chuck Smith, which ended with Lonnie Frisbee leaving. Of course, years later, Lonnie Frisbee came back, but Lonnie Frisbee was a part of three. So you have this hippie preacher. And so if anyone hasn't heard of Lonnie Frisbee, you can go on YouTube, type in Lonnie Frisbee. And he was this really short guy with long hair and a beard. And he kind of looked like Jesus. Like if you wanted to make a Jesus movie, like he even looked, because he dressed like a hippie. And so he, for some people, he was like very deeply spiritual. He was a mentor to a lot of people, such as Greg Laurie, a good friend to people like Chuck Smith, but to other people, he was a weirdo. And he was on television shows, and people would talk about him and say, the Jesus Revolution. And so they had these newscasts. Now, I wasn't born yet, okay? But they had these newscasts, and they would be reporting.
I saw pictures of him. I never met him in person, but I saw pictures of him, and he had light brown hair, you know, and his beard was long. And he wasn't very tall, you know, but...
Whereas Jonathan Rumi is tall.
The movie, I really enjoyed it. The music, the part, you know, where they go to the beach and people get baptized.
That
still happens.
That was on the news.
Yeah, it still happens. Calvary Chapel, they still do it, you know.
Yeah, and it makes sense, but because in part of the story of Greg Laurie in particular is that when he first meets Lonnie Frisbee, Lonnie Frisbee's trying to be there for him, and then Greg Laurie leaves. Mm-hmm. But then later on, he's at a church. Well, it was a gathering of people, and Lonnie Frisbee was preaching, and he happened to just be there, and he saw him again. Then he saw him again at a church. And and then they go to this to the beach to go get baptized, and the girl that's Greg Laurie's love interest, who we know of course is his wife now, she tells him, you know, hey, you know, don't get all worked up because, you know, don't freak out because of the water. And he doesn't know what's going on, and then he ends up going into the water with Lonnie Frisbee. You know, Chuck Smith and Lonnie Frisbee are baptizing people, and so Lonnie Frisbee asks him, Are you ready to commit? I can't remember the exact phraseology, but he says, are you ready to accept? And he's like, you know, and he says, no, I don't know. He says, would you like to do it now? And Greg Laurie's like, yeah. And so he asks him to say the sinner's prayer, and he says the sinner's prayer, and then he baptizes him in water. Now, the baptism motion, you know, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, you immerse them in water, and then they come back up. But the way this scene was directed and edited by the director is that they give you a symbol in that they show Greg Laurie, played by Joel Courtney, that he's under the water, and you just kind of see him in a sense spiritually dying to his old self, and then you see him kind of swimming up. Now, this is not actually happening because Lonnie Frisbee is doing this, but this is something that has happened on a spiritual level, and then you see him coming out of the water like this, but then you see the actual reality when he's coming out like this, but spiritually he has changed. Not because of the water. The water is a symbol of that change. But when he comes out of the water, he's a new man. He feels regenerated. He feels the joy of the Holy Spirit, his conversion experience. And that's a pivotal moment in the life of Greg Laurie. And I really appreciate it. I've never had the pleasure of meeting Greg Laurie. Obviously, I am a Reformed Baptist, so I have my disagreements on doctrine with Pastor Greg Laurie, but I respect him as a brother in the Lord. I think that he has done wonderful things for God, and in his involvement in the Jesus Revolution, I am aware of the fact that not everything that happened in the Jesus Revolution was necessarily good, but there was a lot that did happen that was good. There were many people that were saved, many people that were received instruction, many people that were discipled and had their lives changed by the power of the Word of God. And that's what I love. But the thing about this movie is that it was so well made. It was so well crafted. The score was wonderful. And then just the callback to so many of the songs, the popular songs of the 60s and the 70s, which the two of you were very familiar with. How did you feel that when you ladies watched this movie, did you feel like I'm back there again? Is that what happened with you guys?
I did.
Tell me.
Yeah, I did too, especially because, like I said, you know, I had the opportunity of seeing different groups coming in and playing the music on stage, you know? And so,
Margie.
Yeah, it brought me a lot of memories.
Margie, I want to ask you, when I watched it, I wanted to go in the movie. It was just so nostalgic. That I got teary eyed. I got misty because it was almost as if I was a teenager again.
Exactly.
Did you feel that way?
Well, yeah, of course. Of course. And then especially because I knew that Pastor Chuck Smith, he started on tents because he used to talk to us about it, you know, in the 60s. And of course, you know, when he started it, I was a little girl, you know, but so when they started showing that from him and it brought me a lot of memories.
Very nostalgic.
My brother also,
yeah,
you know,
I love it
because the Lord used him, you know, for me to be saved.
Yeah, and so some of these actors I had never heard of. I had heard of Jonathan Rumi because I've seen, I think, two or three seasons of The Chosen. I haven't seen the new one that's come out. And I like some of the things that the creator of The Chosen is doing. Some of the things he's doing, I'm not a big fan of. And there's certain things that I think that are missed opportunities that I think that the director of the creator of The Chosen, and I'll say right now what I think he should have done in doing the show, The Chosen. I know we're kind of off topic, but it's connected because of Jonathan Rumi, is because he's created all these backstories for the apostles, and then he's creating these other characters or creating stories for some of these other characters that are mentioned briefly in the Bible. I have heard no, but I thought that there was a great opportunity for him to create backstories for Jesus' siblings, because Jesus has a minimum of four brothers and a minimum of two sisters. And you could have created drama by creating stories, because there could have been jealousy among the brothers because of Jesus being treated so special. There could have been all kinds of murmuring about Jesus within his own family. And of course, in the Gospels, it even says that Mary and her kids actually thought Jesus was crazy at one point. And I think that the creator of The Chosen, Dallas Jenkins. I think that was a missed opportunity. I think he should have explored that a little bit, and I think it would have added a little something. Not because I think that you need to add to the Bible. I'm not saying that. He's simply trying to create a narrative story that borrows from the Bible, and he's letting people know, if you want to know what the Bible says, go back to the actual source and read what the Bible says. And so I'm not going to fault him for the creative license that he takes, but I will give the constructive criticisms that he could have explored a little bit with the siblings. But, you know, it's his show. It's a success. So I'll give him that. Yeah. Jonathan Rumi,
I think. Mainly on Jesus and the apostles.
Yeah, no, but he not only just focused on them, he focused even on other second characters like a Roman soldier and stuff like that. I'm just thinking, there's some of these other characters. He even created backstories for Nicodemus, and I mean, which the Bible doesn't talk a lot about. And so I'm just saying, there you got these other characters that because I think a backstory of drama going on between Jesus and his siblings, I find that to be much more interesting than creating a backstory for the
Gideons. I'm kind of like when he showed Matthew, and Matthew has autism. And I think he did that because of what is happening nowadays, that a lot of children have, there's different kinds of autism, you know, and there's six kind. And so it's kind of like for many parents to relate to it. You know what I mean?
And, I mean, he's
Matthew creating... did a wonderful job. The actor, he did a wonderful job in how he behaved.
Yeah, I mean, I think he did a good job, and that was him doing creative license, because the Bible doesn't tell us that Matthew had autism. And Dallas Jenkins admits the Bible doesn't tell us, but he decided, given that he was a tax collector and a Jew, and he was ostracized by other Jews because they considered him a traitor for being a tax collector working for the Roman government, they decided, well, what if, because he's very good at math and blah, 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 so therefore we can say that he's on the spectrum. And I guess I wouldn't have done that.
The majority are very intelligent.
Yes, but I wouldn't have done that with Matthew. But again, it's his show. It's successful. It's interesting. Sometimes you can create things like that and make a story very interesting. But I mean, like one of the ladies that I had never heard of before is a lady by the name of Anna Grace Barlow, and she plays the part of Kathy, who is the one who is the girl, the love interest for Greg Laurie, which of course Kathy ended up marrying Greg Laurie. And I think that she was wonderful. She, in a lot of ways, she's centrist. She's the one that brings, in the movie anyway, she's the one that brings Greg Laurie, or entices Greg Laurie, into that hippie drug scene. And when her sister has this moment, and we're getting into spoilers, but I mean, the movie's been out, it's already on VOD.
Yes.
So, you know, this is a review. So, you have this near-death experience for her sister, but she's able to survive it. But this was like a dose of reality that Kathy has, and she wants to get away from that. That's when she starts trying to listen to Lonnie Frisbee. She starts going to Calvary Chapel. She invites Greg Laurie. At least this is how it's portrayed in the story. I don't know the exact story, exactly how it happened or how the timetable went. But I found it very interesting. The actress is very lovely, and she did a really good job portraying these characters. That's what I just really loved. Having a well-crafted movie with good actors that are providing good performances, and it's not there is preaching in the movie. There is preaching in the movie, but it doesn't hit you over the head. You're not going to listen to a 20-minute sermon in this movie or a 5-minute sermon. You're going to hear little nuggets here and there, but the movie is character driven. You're seeing this, what's happening in the story, from the point of view of Greg Laurie, from the point of view of Chuck Smith, Lonnie Frisbee, the Kathy character, and there's some other characters in the movie that you can see what's happening and what's developing. It has a beginning, a middle, and an end that everything made sense, and it was a wonderfully well-crafted movie, and I really, really enjoyed it. Did you ladies enjoy it as much as I did?
I did.
Oh, very much. I did. Very, very much. And I believe right now, not just right now, but I believe ever since Pastor Chuck Smith passed away, mm-hmm. his daughter and his son-in-law, they're in charge of the church in Costa Mesa.
Okay. But there was a church split with Calvary Chapel, though, right?
Yeah, well, the main church that he had is in Costa Mesa.
Right.
That's where he used to preach, mm-hmm. Pastor Chuck Smith. Greg Laurie, he started visiting different churches. That's when I met him. And then finally, I think he has his own church in Riverside, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah. And but then he decided to speak to multitudes, you know. Mm-hmm. And I also had the opportunity of going to the stadium, mm-hmm. you know, the Angel Stadium, and, you know.
Yeah, Harvest Crusade. I attended one of the Harvest Crusades. I remember it was so hot. It was during the summer. I went with my uncle, your husband, and it was so hot. I remember us getting into a line that was so unbearably long that I remember, because we were in line to get a soda, that a part of me wanted to leave, but I was so hot that I needed the soda. And I remember one of the Christians that was there, he looked at us and he said, "This is almost not worth the soda." Because it was so hot, but we can't not get the soda because we're sweating and we feel dehydrated. We need something to drink, but the line is so unbearably long. I don't know if they fixed that. I don't know what their situation is now, but I remember
that. They did fix it, but my brother, my brother, we used to take, you know, like little pouches, you know, with soda and those ice cubes, ice cubes, but those ice, you know. Because we knew it was going to be like that, you know. And we would take little sandwiches, you know. I also enjoy very much seeing Pastor Greg Laurie, you know, preaching to the multitude, you know.
And interestingly enough,
from the beginning, going from church to church.
Yes, but interestingly enough, in the movie, when Lonnie Frisbee tells Greg that he's about to leave, he said, "I never told you the vision that I had the first time I met you." Mm-hmm. He said, "I had a vision that you would be speaking in front of thousands."
And
he did do that. I mean, I don't know if it was a hunch or if he really did get some guidance by the Spirit. That's something that the Holy Spirit
knows. And he's still doing it, you know.
Exactly.
He's still doing it.
He's a good man of God, and I respect I respect what he does. And I've never had the pleasure of meeting Greg Laurie. I never met the late Chuck Smith. And Lonnie Frisbee died when I was just a kid, and I didn't even know who he was at the time. But there are videos of him on YouTube. But these are the three main characters. But the central character in the Jesus Revolution is Greg Laurie. And all in all, I give the movie a thumbs up. It was a very good, entertaining story. Just as a story, even if you're not a Christian, you can still enjoy the story. Thumbs up for you and two.
I gave him a thumbs up as well.
Thumbs up? Okay.
Of course.
All right.
Both hands.
So I guess we can conclude. I want to thank both of you, my mom, Gina Jackson, and my aunt, Margarita Cervantes, for doing this show, because you ladies give more of a unique perspective because you lived through it, whereas I can only watch videos and interviews about it or read about it. You were actually there.
It was a privilage, Mijo. It really was.
Thank you very much for being a guest.
And to talk about it.
Thank you so much. All right. Well, thank you very much for anyone who watched this. God bless you. Shalom and good night.
It was a groovy time.